Wonderful. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's exciting to be here for Life 100.3. I think I came 2 years ago and we played a little game that we were doing on air. And I wasn't going to do a game this time because I thought, let's be a little bit more mature. Let's not do the game. And he's just shaking your head. Nope. So somebody on the worship team said, are you going to do the game? Are you going to do the secret sound with us? So we got Jake from our street team. He's queued up the secret sound. So how many of you guys know what you played the secret sound along with us? Is there any that have been really tough on you? Yes, all of them, right? Yeah, all of them. But I don't know. Somebody got an alligator chomping. Like it was just like chomp, chomp, chomp. And I'm like, how did you get that? But we're stuck on unscrewing a light bulb for the longest time. So that, yeah, right? Absolutely. So who wants to play the secret sound? Oh, you're ready to go. You got to come up, though. You got to come up. Oh, yeah. Here, I'll come to you. I got a microphone here. I don't know if the sound team can cue this up. All right, we are going to play. She's ready to grab that microphone. She's ready to go. Come on, what's your name?
Suzanne,
where are you calling from?
Barry.
How long have you been coming to Barry Free Methodist?
A long time, 7 years, I think. It's my family community.
Wonderful. We're so glad you're here to join us. I feel like home here, so I can say us. And we're glad you're with us. So, are you ready to play the secret sound?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Jake, let's hear it. Oh, he went so easy on you. So easy. I think I should change the prize.
Crash.
You got it. You're the winner. And just like that, when you call in all day, we're going to be doing Secret Sound, and you guys can win a family pack from Attractions Ontario. And friends, I just want to say thank you so much for Barry Free Methodist. You guys have been always so generous with Life 100.3 and allowing us to come in, allowing us to share about the station. We've got a lot going on there, but I'm just going to play a video from Life 100.3. It's 6 minutes. It's going to give you the vision and update of life because we want to be responsible with the funds that we've been given. So if you entrust us with your dollars, this is what I can tell you. The station has never been in debt. The station has never walked in debt. The station never will walk in debt because we don't believe. Thank you. Because we don't believe that we should be walking in debt. And even this year, finances have not been where they should be. Advertising isn't where it should be. So what did we do? We went back and we redid the budget. Because we can't go in debt because we don't believe that's what God has called us to do as this station. And so let's show you how we've used your funds, what's going on at the station, and we can roll that video. Pretty good video, eh? It's not bad. I hope that encourages you in what we are doing at Life 100.3. All right, now I'm really excited to get into Pastor Jen's series. She's been going through enemies of the heart and how to break free from four emotions that control us. Four emotions that we need to understand because of their destructive nature. Now, Pastor Jen has walked you guys through the first three emotions, right? Is everybody here for all three? All right, so we have guilt, we have anger, we have jealousy, and let's see if we win a car behind this tab. Here we go. All right, and this morning I get greed. And so we're going to be talking about money. And chances are, maybe you've already had two thoughts go through your mind, even through my plug for life. One could have been, I'm really excited to learn how I could give more, or, awesome, the church needs more money. Right? Isn't that true? I've been on both sides. I've sat there. I've had to sit through the money talk. But let's pray and see what God is going to do through this conversation this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity to participate and give back. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would guard my tongue this morning, Lord, that I would say the things that I need to say and say them accurately and lovingly, Lord. And I think it's going to be a great message, great word this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So there's a perception that the church always talks about money, but the truth of the matter is we don't talk about it enough. But there is that perception. I don't know about you, but I've often thought if I just made a little more money, then I would be able to give more. I could be more generous. But the truth is, if we had more, it would be harder to give because we have more. Francis Chan is my favorite pastor. Favorite, I don't know if we can call him celebrity pastors. You guys know Francis Chan? Some of you? All right, some of you know Francis Chan. He's my favorite pastor. And he told me, he told God that he wanted to give away $1 million. He said, I want to give away $1 million. 1 year later, when he said that to God, he wrote a book called Crazy Love. It made millions upon millions of dollars. But he felt, listen to this, he felt he couldn't be trusted with the money. He thought if he got that money and he started receiving it, that he would actually keep it for himself. And so what he did, he set up a charity, a trust fund, that all the money, all the profits from the book would go into that so it could be distributed. So when you buy the book Crazy Love and you look at the back, it'll show you all the charities that Crazy Love goes to. Francis Chan doesn't keep any of them because he feels like he couldn't be trusted with it. How many of you thought that? If I just won the lottery. I know we don't do that as Christians, but sometimes we do. Look, I got some of you. Of course we think it. If I just had, I could do more. But I wonder if we would be like Francis Chan and we couldn't be trusted with it. I want to talk about our emotional need for more and how we can break free from it before it ruins us. Greed can come from many different places in our lives. Now, believe it or not, there is a greed test. And we can take it as soon as we get home. It's called Monopoly. You guys played Monopoly before? Do a few rounds of Monopoly and you will find out who the greedy one is in your group. Right? Am I right? No mercy. But there is a real test. If you want to know if we have a greed issue in our heart with our money, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. So if you have your Bible app, open it up. If you have a paper Bible, please turn. I don't have it up on the screen. When I was a youth pastor, I never used PowerPoint. And it seemed really weird because PowerPoint would be something the students would love to see, right? But I always thought they wouldn't bring their Bibles if they just knew it was up on the screen. So I stopped using PowerPoint and said, start bringing your Bibles and I'll teach you how to open it up and flip through the pages. So that was I was a youth pastor for 11 years, so that was the way I did it. Never used PowerPoint. But it is a good tool. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. For those of you, each of you, should give what you have decided in your own heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. So the answer to that test is in the last line. If you can no longer give cheerfully, and I notice that, I start grumbling every time, if I'm starting to grumble every time someone starts talking about money, then I'm probably holding on to it too tightly. And there could be a number of issues for that. I just want to follow up with a few of them. Money can cause stress. Amen, church? Amen. When money gets tight in our home, that's when my wife and I have the most arguments. I can tell you that right now. When money is tight, me and my wife argue the most. I don't know if that's the same in your home, but that's our trigger. Anybody else? You just leave me hanging? Most of us live on paycheck to paycheck, and when we experience unexpected bills like car repairs, it can put us in an area of debt. And when more money is going out than coming in, we tend not to want to hear about it. We tend not to want to hear about everyone else's needs. So maybe you can identify with this. Listen to this. My kids' sports teams needs money. My kid's school needs money. Heck, I can't even get off the highway anymore without someone asking me for money, right? And you want to talk about money. This should be all of our theme song as we're walking down the road. Everybody wants money, right? I wish I had some Monopoly money for you. We should play that during our offerings, by the way. It loosened it up, right? Because money can be difficult to talk about. So learning how to create margin for unexpected expenses in our budget will be key to allowing us to be a cheerful giver. This is why it's important not to let our emotional need for things take us over, because being in debt can cause us to miss out on the opportunity that God presents us. As a youth pastor, I once heard my district office say that youth pastors in general have so much debt in their lives that even if God called them to a church that couldn't pay well, the pastors couldn't go because of the debt they've incurred. It's like, ouch. Ouch. My wife and I have worked hard to live debt-free. We always haven't been debt-free. The only debt we have right now is our mortgage. Both our cars were paid with cash, which means we had to find cheaper vehicles because we don't make a lot of money. When we buy clothes for the kids, it's always on sale. We find clothes and shoes on Marketplace. Any of you parents out there using Marketplace right now? It is mom's groups. Jenny's on mom's groups right now on Facebook, and it is an incredible place to get deals for clothes and shoes for your kids. We coupon like crazy at the grocery store. Any couponers out there, crazy coupon ladies? I should say coupon crazy men too, because we coupon in our house. I used to be so embarrassed when my mom would pull out coupons as a kid, and it was like, oh, don't pull out the coupons. But now as an adult, I'm like, give me the coupons, let's go. It's a beautiful thing. We do this so we can create margin in our budget so that we can continue to be generous givers. And we've been like that since we got married. If you drive by 125 Livingston or 125 Livingstone, depending on how you pronounce it, right around the corner, that was my very first house. I bought it when I was 23 years old. I worked two jobs for the down payment, and after a year and a half, I sold it because I knew God was calling me in the Bible college. And we couldn't carry the debt of a mortgage and go to school. So we sold everything we had. We bought a small townhouse in Letitia Heights, and we were able to put a down payment on it, so we were able to still carry a mortgage. And we were in the red every month. But we decided to continue. This is something we decided to do. No matter where we were financially, we are going to continue to tithe. We're going to tithe to the church. And every month, I will tell you, God provided for our needs. Sometimes it came through gift cards for gas or groceries. We even got audited by the government that first year, and they owed us money. Whoever gets money back from the government after they've been audited? Yes! Come on! Every need was covered. And we remain a cheerful giver. But greed can manifest itself in many ways and just not with money. I asked my 9-year-old son to define greed, and he said, this is so good. I'm like, I couldn't have done it this good. Greed is when you have everything you need and it's in good shape, but it's never enough. That's what my 9-year-old said. So, I wouldn't have thought of that. I had to go to the dictionary, and this is what the dictionary said. If you guys want to give Pastor Jen an upgrade in this church, get her a cup holder on the pulpit. Pulpit cup holder would be amazing. So you could just... like, I'm diving under this pulpit trying to get water right now. Pastor Jen, if you're listening, you're welcome. You got a great pastor. You do, amen. Love, honor. You got a great pastor. The dictionary's definition of greed: intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth and power. So let me give you an example of intense selfish desire, because we can often think that greed is just about money, but it's actually a heart issue. Does anyone know former NFL star Terrell Owens? Anybody in here? No. One, two, three, four. Oh, you're coming up now. You're coming alive. Okay. All right. So Terrell Owens, he was a great wide receiver, one of the best. He's a Hall of Famer. He was in such good shape physically that he could have probably played into his 40s, but the man never stopped talking about himself. His favorite quote was, I love me some me. I love me some me. And it got so bad by the end of his career, nobody wanted anything to do with him. It wasn't worth the drama to have him around. Greed can manifest itself in many ways, and one of them is an intense and selfish desire for self. We all know that one person when we try and have a conversation, and it's always one way, just about them. And if you're wondering if that's you, and you're not sure, is that me? Is he speaking to me right now? Ask your spouse. Ask your spouse and they will tell you, or ask somebody that's close to you. Ask somebody that's close to you and they will let you know. And this is just a side note that I wanted to squeeze in. Not only can greed destroy our finances and our relationships, but it can work its way into our marriage. I don't think there's any young kids in here. Greed says pornography is more important than our relationship with our spouse. And every time we choose the screen, greed wins. So how do we break free from greed? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. I'll get to that in a few minutes, but I have to cover one area that I left out of the dictionary description because it hit close to home. So let me read the definition again, and this time without leaving anything out. The dictionary says it's an intense, selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, and food. Let me tell you something. I don't have an issue with money because I don't have any. Power has never been an issue with me because I love serving others. I love pushing other people into the spotlight. If somebody else could have come up here and preached, I would gladly push them into that position. When I'm in the radio station, I'm on the radio, I always want to push somebody else on the microphone to glorify or to give them the spotlight. So serving others isn't an issue for me. But food is my master. I can't get enough of that bacon double cheeseburger from Wendy's. Get in my belly! Anybody else? My love affair with food is intense and selfish because I don't want to stop. It's intense because I don't want to stop, and it's selfish because one day, listen to this, one day my life may end early. And I may not be healthy enough to do the things I want to do. I may not be healthy enough to continue the ministry anymore. And I have to stand before God and say, I was too greedy. And I have never looked at greed through the lens of food before. Ever. And this, it hurts. Oh, I love bacon double cheeseburgers. I'm on the road so much for life, like it's just easy. But it's not an excuse, is it? Now, I could give you so many excuses about how I love food. I love cookies, middles. If you haven't bought middles yet for your kids, don't, because you'll eat them all. Oh, food. Twinkies are still, Twinkies were yours, eh? Anybody else want to offer up some? What, come on, this is making me feel better. Let's. We got Twinkies, we got middles, what's that? Anything chocolate. Oh, glory. French fries. Ice cream. Oh. We're not getting anything solved here at all. We're all going to go out and eat too much. I have not done my job. Jen's going to fire me. So maybe food isn't your issue. But maybe you're tired of the church talking about money when the church really doesn't talk a lot about money. And you're missing out on the investing in the church so it can expand its outreach. So how do we break the bonds of greed so it doesn't destroy us? Let's bring the worship team back up. They can come hang out with me for a few minutes. As Pastor Jan already referenced, and you can just play something if you like. We didn't go over this earlier. It's the way I like it. As Pastor Jan already referenced in Proverbs 4:23, And it kind of brings this whole series together. She started with it. We'll end with it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Pastor Jen said you had an area between the office and the church that's roped off because they don't want you to get hurt because of the uneven ground. Church, stay out of the areas that are going to hurt you. When I was a teenager, I worked for the town of Innisfil. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people that would ignore the road closed sign. I couldn't believe you're doing construction on a road and you got 20 signs on each side and people just flying through. We have to honestly look and ask ourselves, I'm not going to do it for you. Are we ignoring the warning signs of greed? Is it clogging my heart and the things that God could be doing? I think it would be so exciting if when anybody came in the church or anybody came up and said they had a need financially or in other areas, and it just made us joyful that they asked us, that we could play a part in that. When greed tells you to buy more for yourself, here's how you can combat it. Be more generous and look for an opportunity where you can give. And if you're in a place where you can't give because you've had too much debt, start today to make a plan to create more margin in your budget so you can give tomorrow. Maybe today you're saying, Pastor Steve, we're in so much debt, we're dying, we're drowning here, and you're talking about giving more. That's okay. That's okay. Let's make a plan to get out of that so that we can do the things tomorrow that God has called us to do. We can plan. It's not an overstatement to say your investment could change somebody's life. You listening to someone else could be the reason someone finds their name in the book of life. You and me putting aside our selfish desires. Me saying, Lord, today I need to curb my greed for food so that I can be in the ministry until I'm 80 years old. So that I could still be in the pulpit preaching. So I could still be on the radio, God willing. So I can still invest in people. And that goes for you too. We have neighbors all around us that we're praying for, saying, Lord, give them an opportunity to come into church. And he's just waiting for you to be able to ask them. So maybe you and I may have to put aside our selfish desire to just talk about us in certain situations and to listen to other people. Greed can get us in so many different ways. Is that good? Did I do the money talk okay? Did we get through it? I believe God has so much more for you and I. He has so much more for you and I. So hopefully the next time we talk about money, we're in the place where it's, I'm excited to talk about money. I'm excited where I can give financially. I'm excited for how God is going to use me in relationships. I'm excited about what God is going to do in my life down the road. 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. Start dreaming, start thinking. Don't just think about today. What's God going to do in your life down the road? That's exciting stuff. You got a future. God knows what it holds. But we need to be obedient. Can I pray with you? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you for Berry Free Methodist Church. And I pray this morning, Father God, Lord, in a difficult conversation about greed, but greed just doesn't affect our wallets, it affects our emotions. And I pray that we would guard against that, Father God, that we would rip out the roots, Father God, that need to be gone in our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'd become more conscious of the conversations we're having with people? Are we always talking about ourselves, or are we listening to other people? Are there areas, Father God, that if I just got a hold of my debt, that I would be able to give? I pray, Father God, that you would speak to me in that way. And Lord Jesus, of course, my favorite one, food. Lord, I pray that we could all get a hold of our health so that we would live longer to be able to do your work, so that more people could come into the kingdom and hear your good news, because it is good. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Thank you so much.